Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. By ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 321 for October 11th, 2017. Pine Board, Puerto Rico, and happy birthday, Amanda.
Hello, everybody from Pleasant Hope, Missouri in the Ozarks. K9EID and all of the other crew here for Ham Nation. We're glad you tuned in tonight. Got a great show tonight. Lots of good things. And we'll go around and introduce everybody. First, Don is here. Don's fresh back from his car cruise. And Don, good to see you, buddy. You doing okay?
I am. It's cruising the coast was great. We were shortened one day because of Hurricane Nate, which thankfully was a non-issue. We'll have Dr. T here for by videotape for the solar update. And tonight is Amanda's birthday, and I have my candle going. It's the best I could. Best I could do. It's warm tobacco pipe, and I got to tell you, it smells really good. But as you can see, I got my candle lit for the birthday girl tonight. So happy birthday, Amanda! You're our girl, and we love you, Bob.
Another Libra. I just celebrated my birthday, and my wonderful stepson and Michelle gave me what you see behind me. Look at this. You guys will remember some of these things. Like here,
oh,
you
know,
put music on these. Yeah. And now I can take my hundreds of theater organ records and put them on digital. Not that I don't already have them, but now you can put it on the USB. That's cool. George, how you doing? You know about all those platters, don't you?
I know a little bit about them, Bob. I've still got a few hundred probably and two or three turntables. But, you know, I was just thinking the other day I need to fire some of those up and clean the dust out of the grooves on them because I haven't listened to my albums in a long time. But, boy, those things are coming back into vogue. Well, tonight I've got a brief video that one of our viewers here put together from the MF Day 45th anniversary that Don and I were at a couple of weekends ago. And, well, I'm going to give away some stuff, and I'm going to tell you about your last opportunity to enter to win this rig down here because we're giving it away Friday night. So you don't want to miss your opportunity on that. But, yeah, happy birthday, Amanda, and we'll be seeing her here shortly, won't we?
Yeah, she'll be up and she's watching the chat room right now, which I'm sure is full of birthday wishes. And George, you know about all these. I got all kinds of these too, but they're all like old theater organ records. And then there's even a couple of these in there. Look at that. 1964.
Classics.
Oh, wow. Man. Oh, man. What's even crazier is it? Let's see if we get it up there. It's a Holiday Inn label. Because I was playing at the Holiday Inn.
Swanky.
1965. Yeah.
I never knew.
Gordo, how are you doing? I bet you have some of those records laying around, don't you?
Yeah. You know, I play these now and then just to have a little bit of practice. And the 78, so they go pretty slow when I'm on the 33 and a third. So I've had to resort to old 45s. And this weekend, Bob, in Melbourne, Florida, the Florida State Ham Radio Convention put on by the Platinum Coast Amateur Radio Society. Our own Kevin, Kevin Young, KC7FPF, our net controller on 40 tonight, will tell everybody about the activities. And this weekend is also the Greater Norwalk Amateur Radio Club technician class starting on Saturday. And weekend after next, Bob, it's you and me and the world at Pacificon in San Ramon, sponsored by the Mount Diablo Amateur Radio Club. And also next weekend is JODA, as well as the Arizona Science Camp, which we'll talk about shortly. Back to you, Bob.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to next weekend at Pacificon. That'll be really fun. And always good to be there and see all of the West Coast people. There's a lot of East Coast. There's a lot of internationals there. But the main thing is Gordo will be there, and you never know what happens when Bob and Gordo get together, because we are unsupervised. So, look out. Well, Gordo, let's come back to you. I think you got a few little shots for us. Let's see what you've been doing this week, and teach us something, huh?
It's been a busy week out here in Southern California, as you see. But Don, we were keeping track of you. So those on video, take a look at the Don machine that he had all waxed up and lubed up. So let's go ahead. There it is. Don, you were looking good in there. And
yep, that's my baby.
Yeah, that's my baby. I don't know what's under the hood, but it'll probably beat out good old Black Mariah's 454. But anyway, those of us with black
400
cars.
400 Pontiac, my friend. 400 Pontiac.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, it'll be a good race, and we'll put it on soon. Well, it was a busy weekend with a lot of things going on. And coming up 2 weeks away is JODA, Jamboree on the Air. And you probably heard the news that ladies are going to be joining the Boy Scouts at the Cub level and ultimately higher and higher all the way up to the top level. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens there. So, guys, make room for lady Boy Scouts. That will be, I guess, Girl Scouts. It'll be interesting. But also on Jamboree on the Air at the same time down in Quartzsite, Arizona, Dave and Heather have Science Camp 2017, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's going to be quite an affair. So for those of you in Arizona, be sure you all know Dave and Heather. They put on Quartzsite along with the rest of us, and we're going to be taking advantage, because they're going to take advantage of JODA and put these kids on the air. And folks, kids are our future. So all of you, weekend after next, make some contacts with Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Good Scouts, and get them on the air to see all the advantage of ham radio. Well, one advantage was this past Monday, Columbus Day, I was assigned fire watch because we were expecting high winds. But what we weren't expecting in the first hour of our fire watch, ham radio support of our local Irvine Conservancy fire watch program, was to look up just as someone was coming on the radio going, "We have smoke." Well, let me tell you, after 7,000 acres in 2 days here in Southern California, certainly not as large as what they had in Northern California, where hams up there will have some harrowing stories of their support. Yes, it was quite a smoke. And as you can see here, the homes that were overlooking the beautiful Southern California mountains and so on, they went up real quick. Those were the best views, unfortunately, were right on the hill here in Southern California. So our fire watch communicators were in high gear, and they were passing traffic left and right. And now, 3 days later, we take a look, and it was true devastation. But the ham radio operators were able to keep traffic passing back and forth. And although we saw things like this, that's the price when you have a great view. And the fire was so hot, even a couple hundred yards away, these fences just plain melted. Now, key to being a fire watch volunteer or a Red Cross volunteer or an ARES or RACES is a good handheld. And in a moment, we'll go live and we'll show you what makes a good handheld when you're standing fire watch duty. All the brands are good, but those that can take an external microphone, this is good. In fact, this Firewatch volunteer actually has his on a keychain. Well, one of those key bobs. When he needs to talk, he just goes, and now he's on the air. For good listening, you would have that right by your right or left ear so you can hear. But one disadvantage of the inexpensive speaker mics is in the wind, it just sounds like not good. So there you go. This is a good mic. This comes from ICOM America. Many times I'll get mics from their marine radio division and use them on the ICOM. And a speaker mic really takes the fatigue away of having that earphone in your ear. All of the manufacturers make external speaker mics. And some of those, including the ICOM, has APRS. And if they want to see exactly where you are, you can get it programmed. And here is the track of one of our APRS operators. And, of course, all of you should have the battery pack, AA batteries, just to back up when you're standing watch to be able to stay on the air when those built-in batteries, rechargeable, have pooped out. But here's one thing. Many times you'll have a speaker mic up, and you just need to know that your radio is working. So radio set, I think, will do great duty for emergency communicators are those that, without having to look at the radio, I can gate the squelch just by leaning back and turning the squelch. I can change the volume. Those are the kind of things you want to look for as an emergency communications volunteer. Now, here's the ID51. Same thing. I can push one easy button on the side of the radio. There's my squelch being purposely broken. And I can adjust the volume on the top. So if someone's trying to talk to me, I can turn down the volume. And when they're finished speaking, I can go ahead and turn the volume back up. On some radios, you got to take it off your belt and do program and push on. And no, you need something where the controls are right there. So some of my favorite radios have volume on a rotating knob on the top, not a menu item. And they have a squelch control that I can just press one little button and I can double check that my volume is either just right, louder, or not. And I'm not having to look at it and push buttons. So that's my success for working that. You can find all of these goodies, of course, in the DX Engineering catalog, their brand new catalog. Hey, Don, did you get DX Engineering's new catalog, Don?
I'm sorry, what did you say? I was busy reading the new DX Engineering catalog. Yeah, it's awesome. This is brand new, and you guys should be getting this in your mail. I see, look, George has one, too. All the cool kids have one. And you'll be getting one, too, in your mail fairly soon. And if you don't get the DX Engineering catalog, by all means, go online and request it. Because, well, you know, DX Engineering, they're our buddies. And they've got everything you need for everything you want to do. Like, I don't know, you ready to hit some D expeditions after close to a year of planning and preparation? The VK9MA D expedition to Mellish Reef is almost here. DX Engineering is excited to be a sponsor of this great opportunity for DXers to log this rare contact. Let's talk a little bit about Mellish Reef and tell you about Mellish Reef. There's a team of 9 experienced DXers from around the globe will be active as VK9MA. VK9MA, Victor Kilo 9, Mike Alpha. There'll be QRV from November 3rd through November 16th on all bands, CW, RTTY, and sideband. The team will be QRV from Harold's Beacon Islet. That is the most distant land in the Coral Sea. It's about 1,150 kilometers north-northeast of Brisbane. That's in Australia. It's the only permanent land in the reef. The plan is to keep 4 stations operating 24/7. For all 13 days while they're on the reef, they anticipate that the lower bands, 160 through 30, will probably provide the best chance to work the whirl during the evening hours. 20 and 17, the most likely bands for daytime use. And, of course, the great hams at DX Engineering have a long history of helping DXers work them all. They've got a long history of being the DX as well. So they know all about D-Expeditions and what D-Expeditions need and exactly what to send to support these D-Expeditions that put the world's most remote areas within reach of you, Joe Average Ham. For the Mellish Reef Project, DX Engineering contributed the following gear: the Hi-Z antenna, four-element array system that features four individual antenna amplifier units. The four-direction receive system puts out over 30 dB front-to-back directivity for the 160, 80, and 40-meter bands, and a useful reception from below the AM broadcast band through 30 megahertz. DX Engineering is the exclusive worldwide dealer of Hi-Z products. Wide range of DX Engineering brand products are there, including an F-connector coax cable toolkit, watertight snap and seal coaxial connectors, 75-ohm dual shield coaxial cables, receiver guard electronic RF limiters, glass antenna insulators, current feed line chokes and bead kits, and four square control consoles. The KD9SV, very low noise preamplifier, is another DX Engineering exclusive. It's there on Mellish. It activates 24 to 40 dB, and is perfect for small receiving antennas for 160 and 80. Check out all this stuff. Again, the brand new DX Engineering catalog is on the way. If you don't get one, by all means, go to dxengineering.com and request one. They'll get it in the mail to you. DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped the exact same day. With proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. dxengineering.com/hamnation. Brand new catalog, amazing people, the best products, the most knowledgeable tech support staff right there, DX Engineering. No need to shop anywhere else. You're going to love those guys. Love DX Engineering. In fact, I got a lovely QSL card from Kay at M&J, Terry Greiser. Look at this. She sent this along with the catalog. Now, I don't know if she'll send her card along with your catalog, but look at that. I got it. That's nice. And she even put, look at that. She put my call sign on the back and said, thanks, Don. She's a sweetheart. Love you, Terry. Love everybody at DX Engineering. Let's go ahead and get into the news of the day now from Amateur Radio Newsline, shall we? From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2083, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, October 11th, 2017. The urgent need for radio amateurs throughout the year in India, especially during periods of dangerous weather, has prompted government leaders to incorporate hams into more of their disaster planning.
Sometime before the end of the year, the government of the Indian state of Pune expects to roll out an effort to coordinate efficient deployment of regional ham radio operators through district collectorates during emergencies such as landslides, earthquakes and floods, and to assist and support public safety during cultural functions and religious pilgrimages when traffic levels are high. The state's disaster management director, Rajiv Nivatkar, outlined the plan in a recent report in the Times of India, acknowledging that the project is still unfunded, but that officials hope to move it forward by the end of the year. All state governments have received instructions from the National Disaster Management Authority, asking officials to allocate agencies and arrange for the training of volunteers. In the state of Maharashtra, the initiative is already underway in Sindhudurg, where district leaders have trained about 20 amateurs for such assistance. An estimated 50,000 ham radio operators are believed to be active throughout India. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
Radio transmissions have always been a mainstay of one station in Western Australia, where communications have occurred on the low-frequency part of the spectrum for half a century.
For 50 years, radio signals have been transmitted at very low frequencies from an antenna array in Western Australia, in an area covering more than 1,000 US acres. This is the Harold E. Holt Naval Communications Centre in the Shire of Exmouth. Commissioned in 1967, it was transferred in 1992 from the command of the US Navy to the Royal Australian Navy. Its original purpose was to give the US Navy the ability to communicate with its submarines and other vessels in the West Pacific and Indian Oceans. On the 16th of September, the station marked 50 years of operation, in which it has and continues to play a highly strategic role in the still vibrant relationship between the US and Australia, supporting both nations' military vessels. Exmouth residents and officials marked the event with a full weekend of celebrations, since the Shire's establishment is so tightly linked to the station's creation a half century ago. The station itself operates with 13 towers, where the tallest antenna among the array stands nearly 1,300 foot above ground. The station is named for the former Australian Prime Minister, who was presumed to have drowned mysteriously in 1967 at the age of 59 while swimming off the coast of Victoria. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Some of the stars in the sky are also on television. Three of them are space station astronauts, and two of them happen to be hams.
You think there's nothing on TV? Think again. Tune into NASA television as well as the NASA website for the latest episode of Hams in Space. Astronauts Mark Vandehei, KG5GNP, and Joe Acaba, KE5DAR, are going outside the International Space Station along with their expedition commander, Randy Bresnik, on the 5th, 10th, and 18th of October. This is strictly a business trip for the three American astronauts of Expedition 53. They have important station maintenance to do. Check the NASA website for local times in your part of the world. While Joe and Randy are veterans of a few spacewalks, this will be the first for Mark, the flight engineer. Joe will join his two crew colleagues on the third and final spacewalk on the 18th. You can watch it all at nasa.gov/NASA Live. Best of all, there will be no commercial interruptions. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Christian Kudnick, K0STH.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, Graham Kemp, VK4BB, Christian Kudnick, K0STH, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We have a spotless sun and very quiet space weather. But all that's about to change. Those stories and more in the news this week. The space weather has really quieted down from a couple weeks ago when we had that big solar storm that brought us some gorgeous aurora in many places of the world. Since then, the Earth-facing disk has really cleared out. As a matter of fact, we have a spotless sun right now. The only thing we've got going is this coronal hole here that is rotating into the Earth strike zone. Here in the next day or so, we should be getting some fast wind from that, and it might actually bump us up to some mild storm levels, so we might actually get some more aurora. Switching to your M-Flare threat meter, you can see we are well below the seafloor when it comes to solar flare activity. As a matter of fact, we've barely popped through the C-class floor just with the flares that we've gotten. This means our solar flux is also extremely low. So you amateur radio operators and emergency responders to the hurricanes, you are probably running into propagation issues. And I'm sorry to say that. We just don't have enough solar flux to really get propagation going. And this trend will continue, especially now that we're at a spotless sun. This will continue for at least the next few days. Switching to your solar storm conditions, you can see the last time we even had a solar storm was back in late September. This reached a G3 level storm. It brought us some gorgeous aurora all over the world, and it lasted kind of down into the beginning of October before it finally quieted down. Since then, we've gotten to unsettled conditions and then mild conditions and then pretty much no conditions. That's the way it's been. It's been extremely quiet over the past easily week or two, but this isn't going to last. We are going to anticipate that fast wind coming and hitting us in the next day or two. It could easily bump us up to active conditions, and who knows, we may even get some solar storm conditions out of this. So your aurora photographers, you may be in luck. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the hit from that fast wind. And at high latitudes, NOAA is anticipating minor storm conditions, even major storm conditions starting around the 13th. As a matter of fact, they're giving about a 70% chance of a major storm at high latitudes. At mid latitudes, we're only expecting active conditions with about a 30% chance of a minor storm. And this should continue in through Friday. But around the weekend, things should begin to settle down. So your aurora photographers, you better get your pictures in quick. And you amateur radio operators, you should get a reprieve for the weekend. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything is in the green. We have a spotless sun, folks, and the good news is that means there's no radio blackout potential at all. The bad news, of course, means that it is really affecting the solar flux. We are at the low end of the marginal levels for radio propagation, so you emergency responders to the hurricanes and the earthquakes and all of the natural disasters that are occurring, you're going to have some issues with amateur radio propagation. And this will probably continue easily over the next week until we start seeing some active regions rotate back on the Earth-facing disk. So despite the very quiet space weather over the past couple weeks, it looks like activity is finally about to pick up. We have some fast wind from that corona hole that's moving into the Earth strike zone now. That should be hitting us here in the next couple days, and it could easily bump us up to storm levels. So you aurora photographers, get your cameras ready. You might actually get some aurora, maybe even down to mid-latitudes. Just barely. Now, you amateur radio operators, it's a different story. For you guys, it's almost too much of a good thing. We have no chance for radio blackouts because we have a spotless sun, which would be wonderful for you emergency responders, except for the fact that a spotless sun also means you don't have enough solar flux to keep radio propagation up and working. So you're going to have to suffer with that, and that's going to continue to be the story as we move closer to solar minimum. And hopefully within the next 6 days or so, we'll get some more active regions on the Earth-facing disk to bump that solar flux up to give you better propagation. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
So nice to have Dr. T on our team. We are incredibly fortunate. Thank you, Tamitha. We do appreciate you. There's the news of the week. And look, Bob is back, and he's got pine board. What's going on with the pine board? Catch us up, Bob.
Well, there's a lot going on. I tell you, I just keep getting all these letters and pictures now. And what I'm working on is we're going to go through some of the places where you can do some testing. Now that you've got things running, why perhaps you need a little help in making it actually work. But a lot of them are out there working. One of them that is working is Bill. I'll show you his project. But before we get to it, please remember, this is very important. You want to remember we got high voltage we're playing with. So be sure that you pay attention to that, and you've got your chipstick. Go back and look at some of the other shows, and you really have to make sure that things are not charged up, and you get to discharge them. This is a project from Bill. N4DH, and he's done a little different project here, where he has built the amplifier, the final amplifier and the modulator on pine board, but he has the power supply and he has the microphone preamp in a regular steel chassis. That's something we might want to cover here in the future, is to how we're building some of those things. Bill has had some experience, I'm sure, and I really appreciate his pictures. The other one he sent was darling. Look at this. He's got a picture of his transmitter, and guess what? He's got output, and that's shown from the dummy load. So that's really cool, Bill. Nice job, and we'll look forward to the rest of your project. I'm going to embarrassing him here. There's his workbench. Hey, mine looks like that too. That's what happens in the middle of a project. But when you get done, well, you can get it all cleaned up and everything's going. And this comes from Virginia. She's doing a great job. She had a little trouble getting it going at first, but then away she goes. I want you to notice this, though. George, check this out. She's got the vintage 1950 series Fender guitar amp knobs. How about that? good one. Wow, look at that. I'm not sure if she got them from Antique Radio Supply or where, but those are really priceless 1950 vintage Fender knobs. So good job. And we'd look forward to further things as she gets moving along. Really impressed with some of the things. I have to show you this. I even got this off the internet too. This is from VE7SI, and he calls it Longfellow. And look at it. It's beautiful. A nice finished wood cabinet with a chrome chassis, and it's all laid out on one long chassis. That's really cool. Very, very nice. I appreciated seeing that, and I have to keep up with him and seeing what's happening. And here's a wonderful shot of Gene. We all know about Gene. He is the guy that does all those great drawings. Well, he also did a nice job. He wound his own coil, and it really looks nice. What a great job. So we're happy to have all of these great things coming on from so many people. And hope that you do get them working. That's the main thing. And one of the things that we want to talk about is once you do get it working, and remember, you have to pay attention to the fact that we're playing with high voltages. So what you want to do there is make sure that you're not touching ground and you're only using one hand and so on. But just be aware. Respect that high voltage. You'll know where it is. And the first thing to do in getting things going is to take your voltmeter and check the voltage. You should have, out of the power supply, you should have 6.3 volts AC. That's for the filaments, and that's really important that you do check all these voltages first. And 6.3 voltage is for the filaments only, and maybe a pilot light. But then you want to look at what's coming out of the rectifiers, whether you use the 6X5 or if you're going to use the bridge. And somebody had asked me, earlier today, it's only drawing somewhere well under 100 mils, so we're not drawing a lot of current with these. But we do have to have at least 300 volts if you really want to crank it. And 150 volts for the 6X5s works great. You're going to get about 1 watt output. So go through all of that and make sure that your voltages are there. And I'll be making a chart up for next week where we will be able to show you voltage points. But in the meantime, check all your solder connections. That's the first thing. I go through and I re-solder everything to make sure those are all okay. And then from there, measure your voltages. And you can go through the schematics and you'll know where you should have voltage and shouldn't, but next week I'll have a little chart for you. I also still have people wondering, where do I buy parts? Well, the parts are very, very easy to get now, because what happened there is Antique Radio Supply has put them in their catalog, and their catalog is really cool if you haven't seen it. But the nice thing about it is the part numbers are right there. The entire thing is there for you. The mic preamp is P for pine board, BH for my initials, and then mic preamp, BPHMP. If you order that from Antique Supply, you're going to get all the parts for the mic preamp. And the AM transmitter, same thing. It's PBH, and then it's pine board AMT. Now, there's a couple of parts that they do not have. And that is the 2.5 mAh choke. The deal there is there's a number of places that you can get those. I don't know why they discontinued carrying those, because they're certainly out there. And I've been finding them from all kinds of sources when you go out there. DigiKey has them and various electronic parts. But this gets you the basic parts and then go to Hobby Lobby, get the board, and away you go. And look on our website, hylesound.com, and that has all of the pictures and the drawings, wonderful drawings that Gene has done for all of us, and schematics that he's done. So all of it's there. And then Victor so kindly taken each one of these segments, and they're all there, so you don't have to go through all the show. You can see each one of those segments of the Pine Board project. So hylesound.com, down at the bottom of the page, past all of our mic products and so on, at the bottom is a whole bunch of pages and a lot of comments. We're having a nice chat with a lot of guys and gals about what they're finding and how it's working for them and so on. So join us on the Hyle Sound website, and that'll help you. It's really good because you can see all of the different things that have happened during the project, right from the very start when we first did the field strength meter. And that was another thing. Somebody said, how do you know if you got output? Well, first of all, you're going to use the light bulb, as Bill showed you there. But then after you get it built, you build the field strength meter, and you'll be able to keep up with it too. That's how you tune it. You really don't need any meters or anything in the circuitry, but that works well. But all of the other things are there, so you can follow it on the Hyle Sound website. So that's what we have for tonight. Please don't be shy. Send me an email, and this is my call at ARRL Works. But you know how to find me. And next week we're going to have all the drawings of how to troubleshoot things for you if you still need a little help. And there's always email and a telephone. So get a hold of me, and I'll be glad to help you through it. But it's just been such a fun project, and I use mine quite often here on the morning net. It's amazing. We're working 250 miles with that little baby, and you will too once you get it up. You'll have a lot of fun. Well, we need to go to see what's happening in the world of ICOM. I think they've got some words for us.
Heard it, worked it, logged it. It's time to get the transceiver best suited for your lifestyle. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. See how you can make the most out of this contest season with one of these. Ideal for the ham on the go, the IC7300 is a high-performance HF transceiver with a compact design. Don't miss a weak signal with a combination of a waterfall function and real-time spectrum scope. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. The IC7851 will give you the competitive edge you've been looking for. Raise the bar and hear what others cannot with this HF 50 MHz transceiver. Reciprocal mixing dynamic, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, digital voice recorder, and more. Can't wait for the IC7610? The IC7600 is still available and at a great price. Following in the footsteps of ICOM's flagship radio, the IC7600 offers intuitive operation and the latest DSP technologies. Digital IF filter, dual DSP, 5.8-inch ultra-wide TFT display, high-resolution real-time spectrum scope, and more. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
You can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. Register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for October, that new radio is going to be the ICOM ID4100A dual band transceiver, entry level D-Star mobile with big rig features, built-in GPS, full dot matrix display, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, and they've got an available Android or iOS application. Of course, it does both analog and D-Star. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after this in each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And we've got one other ICOM contest that's going on simultaneously, And that's for this radio right here that you probably can't see because it's just off the bottom of the screen. It's the IC7300 radio from, there it is, the IC7300, great software-defined radio from ICOM. It's really been setting the woods on fire. And, boy, hottest thing going right now. It's going to be a complete package. The radio power supply from MFJ, it's going to be the MFJ 4230 MVP 30-amp switching supply. Nice, compact little power supply. You're going to need an antenna, too, so we've got that new cobweb antenna. It's a 5-band compact antenna. Really does great in a limited amount of space. 100 feet of coax, RG8X from MFJ. And we've got a Howl Sound ProSet IC, Bob's great headset made specifically for ICOM radios. And to top it off, well, we're going to throw in a pair of our Amateur Logic Faux Gold PL259s, coveted the world over by those who just want a gold PL259. I don't know what else you can say about them. Gordo asked me earlier if the center was Teflon there. I really don't know because I haven't been brave enough to put a soldering iron to these. So, yeah, and we don't recommend you do it either. These are strictly a commemorative item here. So that's about all I can say about that. Today's the last day you can enter to win in that contest. To learn about it, go to amateurlogic.tv/contest. You'll get all the details there on how it's going to be given away. You know, it's the 12th anniversary of Amateur Logic. We're going to be shooting that episode this Friday night, Friday the 13th, 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time. That's 0100 UTC. So join us at live.amateurlogic.tv and see who's going to win this great radio package here. And we'll probably have some consolation prizes as well. Well, I've got a short video here tonight from one of our friends who we ran into at MFJ Enterprises a couple of weeks ago. And there's probably a few Easter eggs in this little presentation here. It is from Paul, K9PTF. So let's have a look at that.
This is K9PTF, Paul in Chelsea, Alabama, and I went to the 45th anniversary of MFJ in Starkville, Mississippi, a true Southern Star event. Hams came from all over Mississippi, Texas, Alabama, KF5, MWE, N5ZNO, just to name a few. Minnesota and Colorado were represented also. There were screwdriver antennas, whip antennas. And in the parking lot outside of MFJ, you could find new and used equipment. People took pictures of their friends and sales. The weather was perfect with blue skies and sunshine. The temperature was in the 70s to the 80s. You could see the MFJ equipment opened up and ask questions while getting great prices. High gain and Cushcraft antennas were out on display, and you could see where they were being built. MTC had other major equipment available from Kenwood, ICOM, and Yaesu. W5KUB was there doing interviews. Inside, Mr. Jew was readily available for questions and a handshake. The QSO radio show with Ted Randall was interviewing AE5DW Don when I passed through. Ted is on that tiny transmitter, WTWW. VEs were busy turning out new hams and upgrading hams, and there was the Ham Nation duo, Don and George. KI4I, Jim, was kind enough to give me a ride to the park for lunch. Thanks, Jim. Hams talked and made new friends while in line for the Southern fried chicken, green beans, corn, and a biscuit. As the food was settling in the stomachs, speakers started their speeches, and hams waited for the door prizes. Even the dogs listened and waited. The Magnolia Amateur Radio Club was busy when I passed by. Then it was time for the door prize drawing, and one proud parent made a memory photo of his son Tyler holding the drawing box as tickets got drawn. The prizes were well received, and all too soon it was time to go. I gotta get me one of those. No prizes here, but I did have a full stomach and the goodie bag they gave me. And with that, I'll say 73.
Well, thanks, Paul, for that nice wrap-up of the MFJ event there. Now, I've got a lot more video of that. As a matter of fact, about 90 minutes worth that Tommy and I shot while we were there. Of course, our friend Wayne helped with that as well. We're going to be releasing that as just a separate episode because, you know, it's so long there. We're just going to put it out on its own. Some great stuff in there, interviews from Martin Jew. Little factory tours, some things that have changed at the MFJ factories and Ameritron factories since the last time I did the tours there. So it's going to be a lot of fun, as well as we talked to a few folks there too. But, you know, last week I told you I was going to give away one of Bob's Howl Radio, Ham Radio handbooks here. And I asked a simple question that all you needed to do was answer it. And we chose a winner. And I probably can't pronounce his last name right, so I'm just going to abbreviate it. We'll call him John Fritz. Congratulations, John. You've been chosen from a random drawing of people who had the right answer. And John's answer was, I believe the Howl Sound original name was Ye Old Music Shop. And he said, thanks for Ham Nation. I'm currently studying for my tech license. The show has helped me understand a lot more about radio communications, engineering, and the ham community. Well, John, you're going to like this book then because it will fill you in on a lot of things you'll want to know about ham radio and just basic electronics and theory of some things that will come in real handy to you. Well, for next week, we're going to give away, well, let's give away this right here. It's an MFJ 270 Guardian Angel Surd Suppressor. It's just a small little device here. It fits in line in your coax, and it has a gas suppression tube in it that helps prevent lightning and static discharges from entering your radio through your antenna system. These are great little devices. It's 50 ohm, works from DC to 1 gigahertz, can handle up to, let's see, what is it here, 400 watts PEP. So all of your typical ham stuff, this will work with. You wouldn't want to put it on a linear, but any of your rigs, certainly this would work just fine. MFJ 270, thanks for that, MFJ. Well, I'm going to pick a question here, and we're going to make it, I don't think it's that tough a question, but it is in the extra amateur radio class study guide here. The Book of Gordo, as a matter of fact. So, let's see. You notice all these notes here. These are questions that Gordo picked out especially for you, our Ham Nation viewers here. And this is the one that we're going to read this week. What is the result of skin effect? Is it as frequency increases, RF current flows in a thinner layer of the conductor closer to the surface? Or is it as frequency decreases, RF current flows in a thinner layer of the conductor closer to the surface? Or is it thermal effects on the surface of the conductor increase the impedance? Or thermal effects of the surface of the conductor decrease the impedance? Well, that's a lot of words there. But if you think you know the answer to it, it's a pretty simple, well, you've heard us talk about it here before. I'm not going to give away the answer. But if you think you know it and you want to win one of Gordo's books, not necessarily the extra class study guide, but you could, you know, take your choice of the technician, the general, or the extra. Just send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and let me know what is the result of the skin effect, and we'll be giving this away next week. And now, well, let me ask Gordo, is this correct, Gordo? Did I get that right?
Yeah, that is correct, and you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
Okay. I just wanted to check because you're not usually here. And that's the reason I just read a question from your book this week. I didn't give the book away. I'll wait till you're not around, and then I'll give them away. So thanks for that, Gordo. Well, right now, let's get Don back because we've got one more important message here, and then we've got to get on to Amanda's segment for tonight.
And please, by all means, keep in mind skin effect has nothing to do with rash this time. But let's talk about a mortgage. There's something that could make your skin crawl thinking about a mortgage. Well, there's an easy way if you have anything to do with a mortgage, and that is Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. The mortgage experience, quite frankly, wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated. It was old. It needed a client-focused technological revolution. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan, because at some time you're going to have to do this. And Rocket Mortgage is the best way to do it. It's simple, allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. And that is vital. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's powerful, whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th home. Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. And based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that is just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. You need to get started. And to do that, go to rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. That is rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. And Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. We thank you for your support of Ham Nation. It was so cool to have Tyler, my son, N7TMW, with us up at in Starkville at MFJ. He had a great time. And yeah, that was him helping out with the prize drawing. So proud of my boy. Absolutely proud of my boy. Also proud of our darling Amanda. Amanda, it's your birthday, and I got my candle. Now, this thing, I'm risking great bodily harm because, A, this candle is in a metal container. It's been lit for over an hour, and, of course, everything in here is liquid now because I can't even pick it up. I need to – hang on. Now, I'm going to pick it up with a napkin, which, of course, is extremely flammable. And so, now I'm picking up something that's very hot and on fire with something that is extremely flammable and risking burning my tender vegetation because it's right over my lap. But here's my candle. There, can you see it? It's in a warm tobacco pipe candle. It's a scented candle. It smells really good. And now my fingers are medium well. So I've risked life and limb and fingertips and you know, the good thing is now I don't have any fingerprints on these two, so I can go out and commit some heinous crimes. All for you, Amanda, because it's your birthday. And thank you for being here, and thanks for being part of our team. And you're a huge part of our team, and we love you. And happy birthday, darling.
Thank you.
Look at that.
Look at that. That is cute.
Oh. Ooh. Ooh. I feel like I should take my shirt off and climb on a pole or something here. My Lord. Look at that. Look at all that manliness.
That's illegal in about 48 states.
Wow.
By the way.
Can you even stand that? I can't. Holy moly. My candle just flared up. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Jeff lent me a candle too because he didn't get me a birthday cake. So I do have my candle here. And it now smells like waffle pecans in the ham shack, by the way.
Wow.
And I picked out some birthday presents and somebody missed the cue. I had a couple. I'll show you one of them, you guys. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
We can afford this, subtle. Honey. We can afford this, right?
Yeah, subtle. Yeah.
Picked out a couple antennas. He didn't see that. He didn't get the hint. Left it out on the dining room table, everything. Nah, nada.
Red Sharpie.
I did get roses, though, and a beautiful necklace. So.
Red Sharpie, fluorescent orange, or fluorescent yellow post-it notes. No, that's subtle. I can see why he would miss that. Sure.
You know what? You know why he didn't see it? I didn't put it in the bathroom.
Because he's a guy.
I didn't put it in the bathroom.
He's a guy. We don't pay attention to our wives. He's a guy.
I know it. He's actually sitting here going, oh, yes, I would love to have a 7851. Yes, yes. thanks, everyone, for the birthday wishes. I really appreciate it. And next year, all black. We'll be celebrating the Over the Hill. So this year will be fun. Next year, not so much. Let's get to some serious business here. Before I get to questions, I just wanted to give everyone an update on how Valerie's doing. The team is working really hard. And Victor, if you just want to kind of scoop, you can slide through those photos. I'm just going to start blabbing on here about some of the news that they've been doing. First, they're really, really busy. And Val's basic duty, she says that she's a pencil pusher. Now, I don't believe it at all. When you see some of these pictures, she's been tirelessly delivering food to people at Arecibo who have been putting up a repeater. They actually got two VHF repeaters donated and just set up this week in Puerto Rico. So they're just now getting their comms back together just for amateur radio, more or less anybody else. And let's see what else. They have 14 volunteers deployed to hospitals while five are embedded with the Red Cross unification teams. And what that really means is that they're relaying from the hospitals who don't have any other kind of comms and telling them of the important stuff, maybe some dialysis needs. There's so many medical needs that you can't even imagine. We can't imagine how bad they're working there. And there's, look at that picture. Val's wearing some of the Heil headsets that Bob and Sarah sent down to Puerto Rico for use. Let's see. I have some other things here. The Puerto Rican operators, first of all, there's 40 or 50 of them that have just been able to get out into the field. And it's because of these good people in this photo that you see that they were actually able to finally leave their homes. We know that there are tons of Puerto Ricans that are amateur radio operators, but none of them are willing to leave their homes and not knowing if their families are going to be taken care of, not to mention most of their own equipment was damaged or destroyed, or they didn't have backup batteries, things like that, to get out and actually help anybody. So now the ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager has gone down there. He brought Mike Corey, that's KI1U. He brought some extra equipment as well, and we can finally get some of those other hams that know the area out into the field. So they're actually working with the power companies, helping get utilities back up and helping possibly get power restored to some of these places. And there's Valerie. Look at that. That's them delivering some of their food and stuff to Arecibo or Angel. And you guys, I'm leaving out a lot of names and call signs because I can't remember them all and I couldn't write them all down. And trust me, Val's going to come on when she comes back into the States and give us a huge rundown of what happened. So I'm just kind of giving you an update here. The other thing is that Ham Aid has been responsible for bringing most of these materials or equipment there with them. And if you have $5 extra, $50 extra, please think about maybe sending it their way to help replenish everything that's been deployed to anything from Hurricane Irma to Harvey. Now fires in Northern California, they're completely depleted in helping all of these disasters that are happening at the same time. So be sure to donate to them if you can. The only other thing I can say is that Valerie is in very good spirits, and I don't have many updates on any of the other hams that went out there, but look at who visited. Vice President Pence, and they were really overjoyed for him to come in and see what they were doing, and they got to explain kind of how ham radio is helping. Huge PR moment for the ARRL and ham radio in general. So with that, again, our wish, we send them best wishes and they're working hard. And the ARRL said that the Red Cross asked if they could stay even longer. I don't know if they can make it. Okay. And I don't know if they're planning on staying, but that's a long time to be deployed and everyone deserves a break. So if they end up coming home, don't blame them because it's hard to be away from home for that long. But if they stay, we'll keep getting updates from Valerie and keep giving them to you guys. So, all right. Let's move on to questions, announcements, that sort of thing. Let me catch up here. First of all, the New England Amateur Radio Festival in Deerfield, New Hampshire is taking place this weekend. That's Friday and Saturday. Grand prize is at Saturday, 2 p.m. The next thing we had was a question for Bob, who couldn't stay with us. So I'm just going to send it kind of around the table. Gordo, I know you gave us some updates from Northern California. Any new ones? Are you guys getting deployed? Are you helping with communications up there in Napa?
The word is many hams from the Bay Area are helping out with health and welfare communications, as well as relaying radio traffic in areas that have been destroyed when the cell phone towers became overloaded or the generators could not maintain them. So hams up in the Napa area, as well as hams down here in Southern California with our Columbus Day fire last Monday, they're doing a great job, and we'll get full reports and I'm sure plenty of photos in a couple of weeks. Next week, Bob and I will be up in that Napa area, and we hope to meet up with some of those hams and hear how they used ham radios to back up all of the great communications taking place with police and fire.
Absolutely, and I bet they are definitely using amateur radio, especially since I've read reports about 25% to 35% of cell phone towers are down in that area. So that means congestion. That means your DTRS radios are also being over congested, and they're going to need some backup. So we'll be praying for those ham radio operators out there, not to mention everyone that has lost their homes and property. That's really sad, and one of the most devastating fires that I can remember. So my next question, actually, that's my last question I had. So I guess we'll wrap it up from there. Who's wrapping up the show tonight?
I saw a question in the chat room that is kind of interesting, and I'd like to know this as well, since I'm a former boater. I sold my boat, but Gordon, this is for you. Here we go. N0LBY Jim wanted to know, what is the difference, if any, between maritime mobile and marine mobile? Is there any difference in your status if you're at sea versus underway on inland waterways, like a lake, river, or the intercoastal waterway?
Generally, maritime mobile means out on the high seas, and they're usually found on 14.300, Don. And marine mobile, that certainly could be up the intercoastal waterways or close to shore. But I don't think there's any official name. All I know is those on the high, high seas, well out there, are always considered maritime.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought as well. That makes sense. All right, Gordon, thanks a lot. Well, I guess that's going to do it for everyone tonight. Good stuff with the Pine Board, as always. Great stuff to see the video presentation from Starkville and MFJ. That was a lot of fun. And again, Tyler came up there with me, and the father-son ham radio trip, that's always a fun time. Happy birthday, Amanda. George, thank you for everything. Gordon, thank you for everything. And we're having a good time here celebrating Amanda's birthday. So I guess that'll do it from here at the Twit Brick House. And we'll see you guys next week here on Ham Nation. So 7-3 and good night. We appreciate you being here.